So it may not matter. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. See eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus. Shepherd, Jesus will guide his children. He gives arms, he carries them all day long. Praise him, excellent greatness. Praise him, joyous song. Praise him, praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For our sins, he suffered and bled. Our God, our eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus, the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus, who bore our sorrows. Loved by the dead, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise him, tell his excellent greatness. Praise him, every joyful song. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, oh, power and glory to the Lord God. Sorry. I'm sorry. I lost it. I'm sorry. It's okay. I can't. No, we won't do that. We won't do that. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
Fine. You're among friends and family.
That's right. That's beautiful. Thank you.
That's all right. Everyone. I've heard it said every Napoleon has a water place, some Lou or another, something like that. That everybody, it happens. Hi, I was going to say coming back here is like having a cup of hot chocolate on a cold day. Instead, I'll say it's like having a glass of lemonade on a hot day. Instead. Actually, this is the warmest temperature. Oh, okay. Was there an altar call?
You're really good.
Okay.
Way at the beginning.
Wow. Anyway, where was I? We were, this is the first time in 13 years we've experienced 80 degree weather. The most it's ever gotten where we live is in the 70s. And there everyone's walking around talking about global warming then. So anyway, so this is different. Well, years ago, when I was at Moody, I originally thought about going to Alaska to be a missionary. And I talked to this director of a mission, not director, but he's on the board of directors of a mission. He was also a teacher at Moody. And he told me, he started to try to talk me into going to the Philippines to be a missionary there. And he said that there are too many missionaries in Alaska. And he's right. There are a lot of them. It's a swarm of them. They're all over the place. But the question is, how many of them are Bible-believing missionaries? How many of them preach the true gospel? That is an issue. There are some very strange missionaries up there. The three prayer requests we always have when we talk about Alaska, of course, drugs and alcohol, marital problems, which come from the drugs and alcohol. Also, there's the issue with Native Americans. So much of their life is based on what they feel at the moment. And that's just very true of them all the time. And, you know, in a marriage, you don't always have that walking on a rainbow feeling. You have to work on it. Well, if they don't feel like it, then they break up. And then the third thing you have is heresies, real heresies. I'm not talking about disagreements about church government or what one translation you should use or something like that. I'm talking about real, real heresies, where we are trying to plant a chapel in Mentasta. There was a church group from Delta Junction, which is about 2 hours the other side of Mentasta, and they were coming on a regular basis. Until one day, the pastor of this church got a message from the Holy Spirit, he said, that he had married a Leah, you know, like Rachel and Leah. He had married a Leah. He needs to divorce his Leah and marry the Rachel. So the Holy Spirit told him to divorce his wife and marry another woman. You get the idea. And now she became the pastor, the leadership. And she was coming to Mentasta for quite some time. And she was, her beliefs are that everybody has a little demon that comes just below your knees. And that demon will trip you up all the time. There's this little demon that everyone's got. So you get the idea what kind of mentality. There's not a lot of argument over which translation to use with her because it doesn't much matter. She gets direct messages from God all the time. That is what we're dealing with. But she has gained much influence. And she gained much influence because she was very consistent. She came all the time. That is the key. Being consistent. And that's true in all ministry, with all missionaries and in ministering here. Consistency, always being there, is so important. She was consistent, and plus there's the issue that it's a matriarchal society in a lot of ways, so they embrace this female pastor, and she's consistent, and they don't have that much discernment, but they want someone to come. A native evangelist that I knew years ago, his name was Harvey Yesno. His joke was his parents couldn't make up their mind all, you know, but he said, when you come to a native village, the first thing they're going to ask you is, how long you're going to stay. And when we first went up there, they were wondering how long Donna could handle it. And, you know, she's never been in love with winter, and telling her how pretty the snow is a waste of time. So, but now she's gotten a lot of respect and a lot of acceptance. As you know, every place we go, people fall in love with Donna. You know, they think I'm okay, but they fall in love with her. Now, this happened once before in Wisconsin. It just happened about last month. Someone said to me, you know, if you died, there'd be a lot of guys who'd want to spend time with Donna and, you know, go try to meet her and get to know her. So I said, so you like her so much, you wish I was dead, you know? So then I started saying, like Isaac did, she's not my wife, she's my sister. when we first went up there, we were just pushing hard to build a combination chapel parsonage. And we had a lot of pushback. And looking back on it, I think we were pushing too hard, too fast. We were receiving a lot of resistance because of the influence of this woman from Delta Junction. And that was a problem. And then two things happened that really slowed us down. We were not going to get permission to build on village property. It wasn't going to happen because that woman from Delta Junction has so much influence over the village board. They weren't going to let anything happen unless she approved of it. And a man named Joe Neal, a native from that area, but now moved somewhere else, owned some land just off of village property. And he wanted to donate that land for us to build the chapel parsonage. But his attitude was, let's stick it to him. That's what he said. And myself and another missionary realized, you know, great ministries are not built on an attitude of revenge. And he was mad at them for something that happened 25 years earlier. You know, people hold grudges forever. So that wasn't going to work. So let's stick it to him is not, you know, we should make that the motto of the chapel, I was saying, that we build. And then the other thing that happened was my foot injury. I was walking in the woods and I was attacked by a pack of wolves. No, actually, I was walking in the woods and I slipped on the ice walking my dog. It just sounds so much better to say it that way. And it was, I fought him off with a pair of nail clippers and all that. Okay, but you get the idea. Okay, actually, I slipped and fell. And on the ice, I was quite graceful. You should have seen it. And I ended up being with these two torn ligaments in my foot. I was, for over a year, I was pretty much the blob in front of the TV. You know, I read some, I watch everything I like on TV twice, and I was just couldn't do anything. Donna, by the way, was wonderful. That guy, Joe Neal, he kept saying he'd call up 2-3 times a week and offer to come over and cut my foot off with his chainsaw. You know, the first 75 times he said it was amusing. Then after a while, okay, we get the joke, you know. But I was laid up. I couldn't do anything. But it was a good opportunity in another way. When Nathan was home from college, he would drive her to Donna up on the weekends to Mentasta. She'd sing and she'd pray. And then I'd put my message on her cell phone. I'd record it. And then some other times we would call on Sundays, depending on the weather. And we'd do the Bible study over the phone. And that was a good thing because it showed consistency. Remember I said how she was consistent. We were being consistent. We still tried to minister as best we could. And that, that has opened doors. We are seeing that there has been a good response. And by the way, we still are doing it now. We are calling on Sunday night, 7 o'clock this time, 4 o'clock Alaska. The last week it was 9 o'clock and 6 o'clock because of Easter. And we're just doing the Bible study over the phone. And we're doing it at one guy's house. His name is Junior. And by being consistent, we're seeing results. He's following along in his Bible when I preach. You may think, oh, well, of course. I go, no, for the longest time, he just sat there and stared at me. Now he's following along. That is a big deal. Also, we were there in his house one time, and a belligerent drunk came in and was threatening us. And this guy, Junior, that's, you know, he's a 40-year-old man named Junior. He said, these are my guests and this is my house. If you're going to be like this, you may leave. The guy starts saying, and he said again, these are my guests. This is my house. You may leave. That is also a very, very big deal that he did that. Now, there was a woman that was coming to the Bible study for a while. Her name is Miranda. By the way, remember a prayer letter from a while ago about a man who wanted me to shoot his handgun? It's a it was a 45-70 handgun, a single shot, which is, you know, it's a buffalo gun, but they made a handgun out of it. And I said, and I asked him if he shot it yet. He goes, I'm not going to shoot it till you shoot it first. And I thought, and you call yourself an Alaskan man, you know, but he wanted me. I realized I was being tested and they will test you. So we went out. I shot it three times. And he says, so what do you think? I go, I think I'll take my chances with the bear because it really hurt to shoot it. And he shot it once and he goes, no, you shoot it again. I go, all right. Okay. Then, he was done. And since then it's been in his house. He hasn't shot it again. But the point is I was being tested. Well, Miranda was coming to the Bible study and then she stopped. She made an excuse and then told us on the sly that there were bed bugs reported in Junior's house. And we thought, well, Jesus touched a leper. We can go into a house with bed bugs. We've washed our clothes. Don't worry. But, we did see one, but again, we wash our clothes. She stopped coming for the longest time. And then this last time we were there, she did come. We didn't say anything. We just let it go. Another thing that is a big deal. Miranda said she wants to start tithing. Because what we would do after we get down to Junior's house, we'd go over to Miranda's house and sometimes pray, sometimes sing, sometimes watch the Super Bowl and then pray. And she says she wants to start tithing. Now, for that, her, that boils down to giving us $20 every so often so we can buy a snack. But that is what she calls tithing, and that is also a big deal. So this consistency, we're seeing responses. Also, Donna has been called the church lady by people. So that is a good sign. Last year, I was asked to do a wedding. And I did it. The doctor said I could start walking, but I was so happy to move because I was getting so sick of just, you know, staring there with my jaw gap, waiting for something to happen. I was moving too much. And then my foot started hurting. The doctor said, you have a screw loose, because they had all these screws. I like telling people that I have a screw loose. So they had to do another operation. But the couple I married, we started going to their place and doing and playing games with them. And then this is the way it works with Native Americans. They're never going to make an appointment to come to my office and ask me questions. They're going to wait till after I am accepted or doing fun things with them. So we played one Sunday, played Scrabble, nothing happened. Then we went back and played again. And right in the middle of the game, we were playing a card game. She goes, "Do you believe in evil spirits? Do you believe in medicine men and medicine women?" And we said, "We believe they exist, but we don't worship them or do anything with them." Because she said she knew of a man who just broke up with a woman who was a medicine woman. And now he's had unexplained weight loss. Well, when someone has unexplained weight loss, the first thing you think of, you better see a doctor and see what's going on. But the first thing they think of, evil spirits. But we were going there. Now, the reason we don't have any pictures is because what are we going to show you? Sitting at a table with people you don't know and will never meet? So there's really nothing to say. That guy, Joe Neal, he won't talk to me except we go fishing. We went ice fishing. I caught a 21 and a half inch rainbow trout. And he said, "Oh, I should bring that picture, but don't tell him where it is. I'll come and find our fishing spot." Okay. But we go out there and then we'll be fishing. And then he'll start asking me questions. And then he'll start talking. That's how it works. That is how it's done. What we're seeing is something else very encouraging. The couple that I married last year, the man's name is Danny. Danny said, "We should start doing services in the rec center, the recreation center of the village. They built it and they don't do anything with it." Because he doesn't want to do it in people's homes. I think it's probably because of that whole bed bug rumor again. But whatever. What is good here, we aren't pushing, but showing consistency. All the ideas are starting to come from them. So we've got to move slowly, keep doing what we're doing. Prayer requests, no, for is when should I bring it up again? Should I bring it up again about doing it in the rec center and see what happens? See what happens from there. Meanwhile, we are still ministering in the Copper River Basin, 2 hours away from Mentasta. Joe Neal, we called him. He's either got cancer or cirrhosis of the liver. You know, this is a guy that offered to cut my foot off, talking with him. Also, there's a guy named Caleb that I've spent a lot of time with for the past 2 years. And for the past 2 years, all I've talked to him about is trivia. I let him lead the conversation. We talked about nothing important. And it was kind of tough ministering him. One time he called me up and said, "Hey, Cleve, I figured out how to give up drinking." He was all happy. I said, "Oh, wonderful. What was the secret?" He goes, "It's simple. I'm taking heroin." And I said, "Caleb, if I didn't laugh, I'd cry over this." But now he is on the treatment for it. and it affects his bodily functions. You don't want to know the details. You can trust me on that. But he will call sometimes 3-4 times a week at 11 o'clock at night. He's been on his toilet since 6 in the evening. It's now 5 hours later. And he calls me up at 11 o'clock at night. So I will pray for him for everything to be taken care of. And then he'll just want to talk. And sometimes we'll talk for 2 hours and it will get his mind off his pain that he's in. And again, we talk about nothing. But recently, he's been saying other things to me. This after 2 years of talking about trivia. Whenever there's a native funeral, they get special permission from the fish and game to get a moose because it's part of the religion that they have to have a moose for a native funeral. So they get a special permit. And he wanted me to drive him around looking for the moose because he's had so many drunk driving convictions, he can't drive himself. So we're driving around. We drove around for 4 hours looking for a moose. And all of a sudden, right in the middle, he looks over and goes, "You know what? I don't think my life has any meaning at all." And this is after 2 years. You just got to be patient. So we talked, and I could tell by the conversation after about 25 minutes, we talked enough about that. He wanted to talk about his new rifle that he got instead. And then he's going to come back and talk to me about that again some other time. Oh, we got the moose at 6 hours, and he has been very, very grateful to me. He's given me a shotgun for protection in the woods against bears. He gave me a snowsuit that is so hot. When it was 35 below, I was sweating in it. It means something to him. I think I really and truly, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm getting through to him and talking to him. With Joe Neal, of course, we'll see how that goes. Though he does love Donna. Joe Neal does have kind of a grandfatherly view of Donna and treats her that way. So that is what the ministry is like right now in Mentasta. Sorry, no pictures, you know, no exciting pictures of wolves attacking me in the middle of the night or anything like that. Nothing like that at all. Just there'd be a lot of pictures of us sitting there talking to people because that's how it's going to happen. It's not going to happen by any great grand strategy, no great rally or anything. The ministry is going to go to advance by steady discipline, consistency. So we would pray that you would do that. Pray that we would have that discipline, consistency. We ask for prayer requests on that. And also with these false teachers, you know, of course we got the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and all the other ones, but remember in Second Samuel, when David was running from Absalom, when Ahithophel, one of his trusted counselors, joined Absalom's conspiracy, joined the rebellion. And when David heard it, he prayed in 2 Samuel 15:31. Now someone told David, saying, "Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom." And David said, "O Lord, I pray, make the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness." And all the way over in chapter 16, when they talk more about Ahithophel, it says, "The advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one inquired of the word of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel regarded by both David and Absalom." So he was a go-to guy when you needed wisdom. And David had prayed that his counsel would become foolishness. And then in chapter 17, Absalom didn't listen to Ahithophel about pursuing David quickly. And because of that, Ahithophel knew that it was over and he committed suicide. So what I'm praying for and what I'm asking prayer for everyone here, please pray that God would confound the advice of Ahithophel up in Alaska. Pray when to push for the rec center, if we should push. We're going to have to, you know, read it just fine and know when to say something and when not to. Our car situation is pretty good. The one thing you want is a good car up there. Because, you know, when you're driving and it's, you know, 25 below and you're in the middle of nowhere, you want a car that's going to get you there. Remember, Jessica was having trouble getting good cars and she bought a Reliant K car. And I said, Jessica, they haven't made one of these since the late 1980s and they weren't that hot a car back then. She goes, it'll be okay. I go, Jessica, it's an old car. Well, the bungee cord holding the trunk shut, that's brand new, but everything else. So that was scary. Nathan just bought a car and it's been a romantic adventure a little bit. Oh, he's getting by with it. But our car, because we're traveling a lot all over to Mentasta and other places. And this next prayer request is going to seem a little silly, but it isn't. When I did funerals, I would sometimes be paid in a quarter of a moose. You know, that is a chunk of meat that filled the freezer. And when I helped transport this, after we found that moose that Caleb shot, I helped transport it back to where it was going to, you know, 17 miles away, was going to hang up in the smoke house. And, here's a side issue. When you help out doing something like that, you're given a gift. Now, at a Native funeral, they have a part called the potlatch, not potluck, potlatch. And if you're potlatch, you're given a gift. And there's this whole big criteria over who gets a gift and who doesn't. And they, if you're a member of the opposite clan, not the clan of the person that died, but the opposite clan, you're asked to be pallbearers, and the pallbearers are all given a rifle. Grave diggers are all given shovels and pickaxes as gifts for doing that. Funny thing is that I've been to potlatches and I see the same pickaxes and shovels given back, which is okay, because once you get a gift, it's yours to do what you want to with it. You don't have to keep it. You can sell it if you want to, give it away. I know one guy, he's got 7 30-30s underneath his bed because he was always the opposite clan of someone that died. I go, so what are you going to do with all those? Because I'm going to keep one, and the other six, when there's another funeral, I'm going to donate it to the people. Because when you're giving out, you know, 5 or 6 guns, that can run into money. So he's just going to donate these guns. We have been given a lot of blankets for what we've done. And we have a stack of blankets. And was one funeral, we were given 7 blankets. And one guy was offering to buy them from us, and I didn't feel you can't sell them. That's perfectly fine. They don't mind. But I just say, here, take 6 of them. But what do I owe you? Go, a sincere thank you. That's all you owe us. You know, don't worry about it. But they're giving us moose and lots of fish, but the freezer's starting to get low and caribou season is over. Nathan and I went out during his spring break and we saw a caribou 800 yards away. And the snow was this deep. neither one of us was that good a shot, and we couldn't get to it if we wanted to. But the hunting wasn't for fun. It was to fill the freezer. When we get back, the bears will be coming out of hibernation. And if you can get them before the salmon run, the meat is very good. So I know this sounds like a silly prayer request, but it isn't, because it's filling the freezer with a lot of meat. It would be a great thing. So pray that we could get a bear. It'll be about second week of May. Him and I are going to go out looking for one. So those are the prayer requests. We should have brought some blankets down with us and give them to all of you. but it's thank you for the great relationship we've had with Wauwatosa over all these years. It's been, you know, sometimes you get discouraged in ministry. Sometimes you wonder why bother when someone calls you up and tells you that they're taking heroin instead of drinking. You know, you're like, oh boy. But then whenever that happens, whenever we felt discouraged, we've had some contact with Wauwatosa, with people in this chapel, and it always makes us want to go on. You really have been a glass of lemonade on a hot day, or whatever metaphor you prefer. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Okay, honey. This way. Okay. Donna's going to sing a closing special. Got it? Okay.
Well, it's interesting. Last time I sang for you, last week, I did a song that I had only done a few times, and by God's grace, I knew all those words. And the song I tried to sing to you earlier is an old familiar hymn, and I lost it, but I don't know what happened there. But it is good that God knows. And this one is one that I love because it's very simple, and it just basically talks about where our hope is, and it's in our Lord Jesus. But and this song kind of tells why. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price for all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. No merit of my own is anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wounded hands and names me as died for me. He lives and everlasting life and light he freely gives.
Good job, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Any questions anybody has or comments or anything? Nathan is going to Alaska Bible College. He's got one more year. And he is he's planning on going to one of the villages that you have to fly in to get to. Being a school teacher, his degree is going to be in elementary education. And then do youth work while I was there and maybe do some planting. You know, and seeing what happens. They need teachers in these villages a lot, and they pay pretty good money, but as one person said, there's nothing to buy. So what do you do with the money? So he's gonna use it to pay off a student loan. That's what he's doing. That's what he's planning on. That's how Nathan is. He's still. All right. Funny story. To fill our freezer for a while, we were going, we were doing duck hunting. And Donna makes a great cream of duck soup. It's delicious. Great big vat of it. Lasts us for over a week. And we were going to go out. We were going to borrow a canoe from someone and canoe 2 miles across this lake, which is a great place where the ducks were hanging out. And we get there and he goes, "Dad, that looks pretty rough. We better not try to canoe across that." And I go, "I think it'll be okay." He goes, "Dad, I don't know." I go, "Let's try it." So we went out there and it turns into the wreck of the Emmett Fitzgerald. We wanted to go over there. We ended up over there. We got out and the mud was over our knees. And We couldn't control the decoys. The wind was so great. We couldn't try to canoe back. It wasn't going to happen. The only thing we could do, we were going to push the canoe. I was going to push. He was going to pull, try to get the canoe around the lake. It's going to take forever to do that. And we're pushing it. After a couple hundred yards, all of a sudden, he stops pulling. What's the matter? He turns around, comes back to me, this right in my face, and goes, "Dad, I told you so." And then, okay, we saw some bear scat, and I said, "Nathan, why don't you, this is going to take us to the day after tomorrow doing this." I go, "Why don't you walk back, cut through the trail there, walk back, and see, the guy's also got a power boat. Maybe he'll come out and tow us back." And this is just after he saw the bear scat. And he goes, "Dad, I don't want to leave you." I go, "You know, I've got my 44 revolver. I'm not going to do anything stupid. I'll stay out of the bushes. I'll be okay." He goes, "No, it's not that, Dad. If I have to resort to cannibalism to survive, I want you near me." So, so I don't know where this kid gets his sense of humor, but so that's what's going on with Nathan. We called that missionary. I talked to him a little bit and he was going to have another person call me up and call Nathan up, but we haven't gotten any contact. So we'll see what happens. Maybe that's the best thing to do. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Well, again, consistency is important, but Jehovah's Witnesses haven't been around in a long time up there. The Mormons that are up there, they've got like a six member Mormon church, so they don't really do much outreach. But again, consistency, with that lady from Delta Junction, she was coming often. And because of that, they accept them. That is the key. Well, Jessica just had a baby in October. And she was doing some assistant teaching, and now she's on sabbatical for that. One nice thing, this has caused her to come and see us more often, and we have more contact with her. 4 days after the baby was born, she called Donna up, and she says she has a newfound respect for Donna because changing the diaper, taking care of the baby. And mom, you did this when you were blind, when you couldn't see. So she has a newfound respect. And, so they have this contact, they talk and they share labor stories and stuff like that. And I just sit there and smile and like that. So, but more contact with her. Any more questions? The only thing I got to tell you is all the reality shows that take place in Alaska are all frauds. They are. I do know that. It's not just an opinion. I know that a lot of them are all frauds. Yeah, I guess that's it. Thank you again. No more questions? No more comments? You close press? Sure. Thanks, sir.
Thank you, Cleve and Donna. That was a blessing to hear about it. And we were blessed by your singing too, as well, Donna. And I'd like to close in prayer, and we can be in prayer for Cleve and Donna. When are you going back?
May 1st, we fly back.
Okay. That's coming up soon. So, all right, let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we were able to be here this evening and hear about your work in Alaska that Cleve and Donna are involved in. And Lord, we know you're working, and just thank you that you have placed them there and that they can represent you in the midst of that culture that so desperately needs to know about the Lord, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray for all the people at, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, Mentasta, is that right? Yeah, Mentasta. Lord, you know all the people there one by one, and you know their spiritual needs. Lord, we just pray that you would, your Spirit would be convicting hearts there of their need for a relationship with you. And Lord, I just pray that as Cleve and Donna continue with this disciplined consistency that he was talking about that is so needful, that people would see your love for them through their actions and their love for the people there. And we pray your blessing on all the work that they're doing. Father, we know that when you're doing work, the enemy is at work too, and there are false teachers there. We pray that that they would not have that the enemy would not have his way there through these false teachers, and that the people would see through it as fake, and that they would want a true relationship with you through your Son. So we do pray for that, and pray that the gospel would go forth, and we pray for each of the people that they that were mentioned this evening, and we pray that the relationship that Cleve and Donna have made with them, that you would continue to give them opportunities to share your love with them. And we pray for Nathan and his schooling, and that you would guide him and lead him according to your will, that you would use him in a great way in the ministry. Just we pray for your leading in all of this. And we pray your continued prayers for Jessica, that you would continue to speak to her heart, and that she would draw near to you in the midst of her situation. And we just pray your blessing on her and her child. And we just thank you for the work there in Alaska, and ask your blessing upon it. And Lord, help us as an assembly to continue fervently in prayer for them, and that you would bring them to mind, and that we would pray for one another as we see the day approaching in these last days. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Are there any announcements, or friend? Cleve is speaking on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully Donna can do another special number. Sure. Would you be able to do? Okay. Oh, great. That'd be great. Any other?